gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
we had!
We had!
Say what?
Now beat that.
Oh, yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
Oh, Lord, hear me.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house, and we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal. We are your Ball Street Journal reporters, D, Ron, Trey, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing absolutely fantastic. Really looking forward to this show, showing you guys some of the international flavor that we bring to the Section 357 show. But before we do, let me toss it over to my man, the international player himself, Ronnie. How you doing?
Yeah, we're going from the pub to the touchline on this edition. It's World Cup time, the biggest event every 4 years. The world pretty much stops this one. So we're going to give you our own unique preview of the World Cup. Players, storylines, what to watch, how to watch, what got us into it. And, of course, you know, we got to make a prediction on who wins the whole thing. But the man who always is the winner, he's always a champion. Somewhere out there between Barcelona and Bankhead, it's my main man, Floyd. Floyd, what's going on, man?
Feeling good, feeling great, guys. Always a pleasure and a privilege to have this conversation with you all and to share it with the world. This is the Section 357 show. You can find us on Twitter at Section 357. Find us on Podomatic, on Stitcher, on iTunes as well by doing a simple search for the Section 357 show. You can also subscribe to and download the show from those locations. But without any further ado, let's get this started. It's World Cup time. Let's dive head first into what makes this particular tournament so special. And as you mentioned, Big Shot Ron, what to look for, what to watch, how to watch rather, and what really got us pulled into this particular moment. So let's start right there. Big Shot Ron, I'll toss it back over to you, man.
My what to watch for, fellas, and chime in on this, is the location. This is Brazil, the home of the beautiful game, where soccer literally is a religion in some parts of Brazil. And, Flo, I'm going to kick this over to you. It's hard to relate this to American sports, but to me, this is the most pressure any one team has ever been under going into any event. This is Brazil, the host nation, they're under pressure to win this tournament regardless of where it's played. And now it's on their home soil. All the controversies about the stadiums, the protests. Is this Brazil team even a great team? So there's so many questions, so much controversy, the pressure, Floyd. Give me something about Brazil and the pressure they're under, as well as kind of what you're looking out for.
I think from a historical standpoint, we look at Brazil as this soccer nation because they've earned that. They've won several World Cups, but none recently. And I think when you look at the name, the singular name that many even casual fans associate with soccer, quote unquote, football rather, is Pelé. Pelé from Brazil, Pelé winner of three World Cups himself. I think that's from a historical standpoint, that's the nostalgia of having this World Cup in Brazil and having it mean so much. I think that we've seen a shift in the power and the influence of this game move to Europe in the past, I would say, 10 years or so. So it's very interesting to see how Brazil responds. And if there was ever a time where a nation, a team, a people were going to unite to rally and raise their hands in victory, it is now for Brazil. And even beyond that, there's a lot of protests happening in Brazil right now. We can talk about that later, but with so much that goes into making a World Cup happen from an investment standpoint, I think that's where a lot of the pressure also lies on this team, because the people, quote unquote, aren't necessarily happy about some of the behind the scenes things about this World Cup. So it'll be really nice if Brazil, the team, the national team, could come through with a victory for the people.
Well, and I want to touch on what you talked about, though, about how the power in the soccer world has kind of moved away from South America. You know, Mexico isn't as strong as it once was. Brazil is still the top team. But if you look at the top teams, you're looking at Europe. You're looking at Germany. You're looking at the Dutch. You're looking at Spain. So this shift in power, it's going to be interesting to see how they play essentially on the road, in South America. So I'm wondering how these top teams will be treated. As you kind of alluded to, the World Cup is very much a rich man's event. So I wonder if many of the Europeans will travel and cheer on their team, or if, as you said, the people will really pull against the Europeans and root a lot harder for Brazil and the other South American countries.
D, I'm going to send it right back to you. Talk about some of the players. We talked about Brazil and how much pressure they're under. Who are some of the players who are either under a lot of pressure or who we're going to know household name style by the end of this thing? Who are you looking at?
Well, yeah, speaking of the players, I do find this very interesting. A lot of the teams that I mentioned are just good sides as a whole. But if you look at some of the stars, the Messis, the Suarez's, the Ronaldo's out there, they're on teams where they are kind of the lone star. You have these dominant players on teams that are just so-so, relatively speaking. They're just not stacked with talent, although they have these star strikers. So I am really curious to see how a team like Uruguay, a team like even the Ivory Coast with our man Didier Drogba, Portugal, who's in the same group as the United States, how they're going to do with these star strikers who everybody's going to be watching because they are, as you said, the household names. But will their back line, will their midfield be able to carry the team and allow the strikers to put the ball in the back of the net?
Indeed, looking at the prominence of the European teams, as we've seen in the World Cup, the Champions League over the past few seasons, Bayern Munich, in many folks' eyes, is the best team in the world, even though we know Real Madrid just won the Champions League. A lot of people do consider Bayern Munich to be the best team, and lots of those Bayern Munich players are on the German national team, which is, I think, why Germany is heavily favored. I believe that the Dutch team is heavily favored, as well as the Spaniards. They're definitely one of the favorite teams. So I think that right now, if you're looking at the World Cup, as a casual fan, it's Brazil or Europe from who you have to hitch your wagon to. So from a European standpoint, it's Germany, it's the Dutch team, it's Spain. And then if you're not going to pull for them, might as well pull for the home team, Well, the host team, I would say, that being Brazil.
Lloyd, let me talk about that for a second. And this might shock some friends of the show, some fans of the show out there, but my team that I'm really going to hitch my wagon to is going to be England. I mean, we've watched a lot of BPL football. The English team is stacked with stars from the BPL. I mean, Liverpool has a huge showing on the English side. And they're as close as we can get as Yanks to a team which is similar to us. They've got some stars with color to their skin. They've got some names that we know. They speak English. So if we're going to have a World Cup side, and I know that we do have a side, and we'll get into that, but I'm going to hitch my wagon. In terms of my European B squad that I'm going to follow, it's going to be England. I do think that they are loaded enough this year where they can make a strong challenge to even some of those top teams like Spain and Germany and the Dutch.
This is the Section 357 Show, World Cup preview style. Twitter heads, check us out at Section 357. Speaking of the home team, fellas, this is going to come up every 4 years. How much does America care about this tournament? How much do they care about the men's national team? When the draw came out, I tweeted this at Sunday. The United States has probably the toughest draw in this tournament. They got drawn with the German team that Floyd talked about, who's been a machine. They got drawn against Portugal with the best player in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo. And they got drawn against Ghana, a team that has knocked them out of the last two World Cups. Floyd, I know you are sort of our resident cynic. D, you are a resident patriot. Team USA's chances in this tournament, and how invested should America be? Floyd, I'll start with you.
When I saw the draw and where they have the United States, I know that the draw, quote-unquote, is supposed to be somewhat by happenstance. They sort of pull names and match teams up. I know that's the way that it's portrayed to be, but when I saw the draw, it was very obvious to me. My first gut reaction was that they don't want the U.S. there. This is the world's game. This is the world's moment. And the rest of the world does not really want the U.S. to be a part of their moment. So let's go ahead and get them out of the way early and decrease their chances of being relevant in this moment. So I believe that was I won't say it was on purpose. I would just say it's very fortuitous, I would say, for the U.S. To be in this group of death from the rest of the world's perspective, that is.
Floyd, I got to disagree with you here. I don't really think we're in a group of death. I mean, yes, any group with Germany in it is going to be a tough group. I will concede that. But the one-man Portugal squad, Ghana is not that tough. It's more of a mental thing there. They just have a history with the United States. But why shouldn't the United States national team be able to compete in a group like this? Yes, Germany is more than likely going to win it. But the United States, as a huge, large, powerful country, should be able to field a side that could at least be second in this group, at least contend for second in this group. The fact that we're looking to get wiped out, we're expecting to get wiped out, is nothing but the fault of U.S. soccer. And that's the problem.
I'm not disagreeing with you about whose fault it might be, but I just want to be very pragmatic, if you will, in looking at the talent disparity. Yeah, they have us ranked, whatever we're ranked, and we're in this group, but when your best players are at best average to below average players in other leagues, you have a problem. So while Ronaldo is sort of on a one-man team, he's still the best player in the world. So that's not going to change because he's not playing for Real Madrid. And there's not anyone on the U.S. team that can compare to Ronaldo on that pitch when it's time to play that match. So I'm not saying that the U.S. shouldn't try to do their best. What I'm saying is that the caliber of talent that the U.S. has put out into the world is not world-class talent on average.
Fellas, let's take a quick time out. And when we come back, we're going to take a fan's view. For those who are new to this, how to watch the World Cup, what got us into this, and of course, we got to call a winner. We'll be right back. This is the Section 357 show.
Come on, baby boo, you got to get into it. Going forward to play with the cool wit. Yeah, you know I'm always on that cool shit. Walk to it, do it how you do it. Have a glass, let me put you in the mood. Little cutie, looking like a student. Long hair with your big fat booty. Back in the days, you was the girl I went to school with. Had to tell your mom and sister to cool it. The girl wanna do it, I just might do it. Hit her off with some pimp fluid. Mommy, don't worry, I won't abuse it. Hurry up and finish so you can watch Clueless. I laugh at these niggas when they ask who do this. But everybody know who girl that you is.
Beautiful.
My baby bullshit, I get foolish. Smack a nigga that tries to pursue it. Homeboy, she taking, just move it. I asked you nicely, don't make the dog lose it. We just blow draw and keep the flow moving. In a 6'4", me and baby who cruising. Body wagging, teary, you're blueing. Had him hydraulic squeaking when we screwing. Now she's yelling, hollering out, snooping. Hooting, hollering, hooting. Black and beautiful, you the one I'm choosing. Hair long and black and curly like a Cuban. Keep grooving, that's what we doing. And we gon' be together until your mom's moving.
And we're back. Twitter heads, check us out at Section 357, section357.podomatic.com for the previous episodes and the new blog site, section357.wordpress.com. You get our thoughts on hip hop, sports, fatherhood, all types of good stuff going on there. So, Floyd, you're a man who lived in England, so you've lived the football craze. Talk to the fans who are going to be probably tuning into the World Cup maybe as a first-time, relatively new viewer. Watching this thing, how do you watch the World Cup as a new fan or as a fan who's just getting into it?
First of all, if you're coming to this sport as a new fan, I would suggest to not watch this by yourself. So that really means find a place in your city where there are people, preferably from those soccer-crazed nations, find out where they're going to be watching and then watch with them. It will be more fun. It will be more festive. It will be more intense, all of the above. So do watch by yourself, because first of all, if you don't really understand the game, you only get more confused if you're watching it by yourself. So I would say find where the real fans of the sport are in whatever city that you're in, and then go watch with them. You'll learn a lot, and you have a good time while you're watching.
Let me co-sign on that a little bit. If you can, find a good European bar. I know there's one out in my neck of the woods out here in suburbia, or certainly with it being in Brazil, your easy local Mexican spot with a good bar is always going to be a great place to watch. So, you know, that Mexican spot that you go to for cheap tacos, if they got a good bar, that's going to be a really great place with good atmosphere to watch a lot of these games.
And let's say you don't have that international pub in your neighborhood. I know New York, Chicago, Atlanta, D.C., Los Angeles tend to have a lot of great pubs, supporters clubs of international city. But let's say you're a little bit off the beaten path. This is okay for the World Cup to root by color. You're going to see a lot of great kits, or what we call uniforms. Brazil with the classic yellow and blue. You've got the classic white, blue stripe Argentina. You've got Italy, the classic blue. So sometimes it is okay to just pick a good color, because it's a colorful event, multicultural. So root by color. See some colors you like. You like that Dutch orange? Go for it. So if you're a new fan, can't get to that pub, can't get to that local spot, root by colors, because you're going to see a lot of different cool-looking uniforms. Floyd, any other tips? I know you said how we watch this thing, find your local pub. What else should you, as a new fan, look for when you watch this thing?
I'll take a page out of Sun D's neck of the woods here, and that's go to Google. And I say that from the aspect of learning how the World Cup works from a structure standpoint. You have your group phases, and then you have your knockout phases. So let's try to understand how the tournament works, because then maybe you understand why some things are more important than others from just a scoring and from an advancing standpoint when it comes to those teams. Then also, whatever names are being most talked about, of course, you'll hear Ronaldo, you'll hear Messi, you'll hear Neymar, because he's the rising star for the Brazil national team. Do some basic research. You don't have to do too much, but just do some basic research and at least Google some of the names, who's who, where they're from, et cetera, because what happens is a lot of these players play for, of course, their national teams, but also their club teams. So you might have heard a player's name mentioned as it relates to their club team. You don't want to go into the conversation assuming that that club team is now playing in the World Cup. It's not that kind of tournament. So just being able to distinguish between where these players are, where they're from, what their club teams are, the popular players, that is, and then, of course, learning the structure of the World Cup.
Yeah, if I can, certainly, I'm glad you brought that up, Lloyd, and I hope I'm not jumping the gun here, Ronnie, but that was one of the things that got me into soccer as a whole, was watching the World Cup, seeing these stars, hearing these names, you know, great names like Didier Drogba, we just love to say that on the show, and then finding out what their club teams were, and naturally there were a lot of them that played in the Premier League, so that's what got me watching the Premier League and watching club soccer, you know, kind of year-round, not just every 4 years. But one other thing I would suggest in terms of tips for watching this, we are fortunate this time as opposed to 4 years ago that Brazil is, for the most part, in our time zone. You know, we're not waking up early like we had to during the South African World Cup. Yes, it was nice to find an excuse to go to a bar and drink at 10 o'clock in the morning. But here, we'll get more games more closer to our prime time. But some of the games during the group stage are going to start around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So if there is a match that you want to watch while you're at work, it's time for looking to try to take that later lunch in the day. Just a tip there.
Not jumping the gun at all, D. Let's talk about what got you into this. And I remember it pretty clear. 1998, when the original Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo, was pretty much the biggest thing on the planet. He was LeBron James in Cleveland. And I remember an ad just happened to flash on TV, you know, while I was in college. And I was like, who is this dude? He looks pretty cool. Got the ball dome, you know, looked real powerful, real fast. And it was a Nike ad. And they was like, there's something in Portuguese. And then it said Ronaldo. So this is like internet. So I went to the internet back in 1998 and looked up this dude, Ronaldo. And that kind of piqued my interest, as Floyd talked about. So for me, it was Ronaldo, 1998. Now, he didn't have the best ending to that year, but that's what sort of kicked the craze off. And then I started watching Premier League. You start watching the UEFA Championships, World Cup 2002. It just kind of kept growing and growing and growing in my interest. So that was kind of the moment that kicked it off for me. Floyd, I know you lived over in England, but was there a pre-England voyage that got you into the World Cup, or did it start once you were over there living it?
I got to be honest here and say that I was not always the biggest world football fan growing up. But once I did move to England for a bit, that did change my perspective. But what really swayed me was once I realized how much money these football players make, and once I realized that many of these footballers make as much or more than most of your basketball players or your baseball players here in the U.S., that made me realize how serious the rest of the world took this sport. So I try to, you know, love the sport for what it is, but I have to be honest, the money and understanding how much money they make really got me into the sport in terms of respecting what these players mean for their club teams, for their country, et cetera, because once you realize that a guy like Messi or Ronaldo makes as much as LeBron James, maybe even more, then you start to see their talent and their skill in a different perspective because of how it's valued. So I think it definitely was just a sort of understanding of this is big business all over the world, just not so much in the U.S., but that really swayed my interest there.
My take on this is slightly winding. It's funny. What really got me into the World Cup was the 1999 World Cup. And if you're listening closely, you're saying, hold up. There wasn't a men's World Cup tournament in 1999, but that's when the United States women's team had their dramatic win in penalty kicks. The great scene of, you know, the ripping of the shirt off. It was great drama. So I remember then the importance and the drama that could happen in the World Cup from the women's standpoint. So when the next men's World Cup came around, I started to watch that from my patriotic standpoint. It was timed up very much with the vacation that we had, you know, during the summertime. And one of the great things about the U.S. men's team, as bad and as disappointing as they have been very good for bringing great drama. You know, if you guys remember that Landon Donovan score that he had in the last World Cup to get us out of the group stage where he came running down the pitch and scored off the rebound, he just made for great drama. So the patriotism is what sucked me in, but then learning the stars, learning about the different clubs, learning about the different leagues is what expanded me to soccer as a whole. So there will still be a lot of that patriotism for me this year. As Floyd said, it is good to watch the U.S. men's team play at a bar. Those chants of USA, USA, if we do score, are a lot of fun. So that's what sucked me in. But, you know, as Ronnie mentioned, learning more, Googling the players, finding out what their clubs are, that's what brought me into the importance of the World Cup.
And that's what it's about. Sometimes it takes something small like that. As Floyd talked about, go to Google, go to YouTube, and look up Nike World Cup ads. Nike puts together some of its best stuff for this tournament. And if you really want to get into it, Google Nike World Cup ad and see the players that are featured in the commercials and see, okay, who is that guy? Oh, that's Ronaldo. That's Rooney. That's Eden Hazard. So just look up the guys on the commercial, and that's kind of how you can really start to get a base knowledge of it. Floyd, I know you want to jump back in real quick.
And Ron, speaking of that commercial, Every guy that you see in that commercial has some form of pressure on him to perform great in this World Cup. Dean, you mentioned that you're pulling for England. Wayne Rooney, this could be a big moment for Wayne Rooney to really step up. Hasn't had the best club performance over the past year or so, so this could be a great moment for him. And I think that all those guys in that commercial are rightfully so highlighted because of what they mean to their national teams, but also because this could be a moment where they get to catapult themselves into that upper echelon of stardom on this world stage. But speaking about what the World Cup means to a country, what we didn't talk about and what you may or may not get a chance to see during the broadcast is it takes a great financial investment to bring a World Cup to your city, to build stadiums, to do all that it takes to secure the place, to have housing, all these things that you really don't often think about. And for a lot of the countries around the world, the people of those countries oftentimes have some ambivalence when it comes to whether or not it's a great investment to have the World Cup. South Africa, for example, I won't say things are bad there, but I'll say that there's always some challenges financially to build and maintain these stadiums. And then it's always a question of what happens after the World Cup leaves and you build all these stadiums. Well, what happens then? So I would ask all of our fans out there, pay some attention to what's happening outside of the game, because there's always some larger global context there to what's happening with the people and how they feel about sport as well as the games coming to a particular country.
There's no doubt about that, Floyd. And I remember when we went through the process of Olympic bidding for 2016, and I can tell you here in Chicago, there was a very anti-Olympic sentiment in Chicago for that event. And I know you all went through in 1996, Atlanta actually winning it. It seemed kind of that it was for the good, but there's definitely that side of it where you have a lot of people who are not happy about having such an event, which is why for Brazil, we talked about earlier in the show, the pressure is because there are so many people in that country, despite the football craze, who want no parts of that tournament. There's been the controversy about the 2022 games in Qatar and some corruption. So it all adds to the drama because, as Floyd talked about, there's so much that goes into it, dirty politics, dirty money, the effect it has on the people of the country. So it kind of all adds up to this one explosion, so to speak. Fellas, as we wrap up the conversation, we got to call a winner on this thing. Is the Super Patriot in you going to ride with the U.S. all the way with a deep run? Who you got winning this?
I'm sorry, Rodney. I got to laugh. Just the thought that the United States has a chance at making a run is comical to me. It'll be a huge win for the United States to make it out of the group stage. It'll be a monstrous win for the United States to win their first game in the knockout stage, okay? They're not going to make a run. But I am going to go a little bit off the beaten path and pick a bit of a dark horse winner. I talked about them before. You know, I don't want to go with the heavy favorites, with the Dutch, who I do enjoy watching play football. Van Persie, really love watching him play. The Germans, such a solid squad. Spain, the tiki-taka. I'm curious to see how they do. But if you ask me to choose a winner, it's the team that I said is my B team, and England, I think, is going to be that surprise team and finally win a World Cup after a long drought.
Floyd, who you got? A winner, a surprise team that makes a deep run? Call your shot.
I will say that from a patriotic standpoint, I do want the U.S. men's team to do well. I do want them to get out of the group stage because I do feel like as an emerging, hopefully emerging, soccer/world football nation that we can excel and that we can inspire people to play the sport, invest in the sport, and to really be a player on the world stage. So if the U.S. men's team plays well, that means that it's probably good for MLS as a league and for youth soccer in America. So I do want that to happen. But keeping the strand of patriotism alive, and I guess pulling for the host country, I'm going to go with Brazil because I know what it means for Brazilians. I know what this sport means for them. I know what this legacy means for them in terms of their football culture and from a nostalgia standpoint. So I want people who care about these types of things to experience the ultimate joy. So I do want Brazil to win in their home country, you know, on their home soil. And I think that if they do win, and a guy like Neymar has a great showing, he will be that next superstar on the world stage when it comes to football.
Lloyd, you took the words pretty much right out of my mouth. I know a lot of times in our text conversations about different things, sometimes we root for the controversy. We root for the anarchy, so to speak. With everything you just laid out, Lloyd, about how much this means to Brazil, how much has been invested, some of the ill feeling toward the nostalgia of the pressure on this team, I'm really cheering and picking Brazil to win this. And this is not even a classic Brazil team. This is probably the least talented team they've put in a World Cup in a long time. But I just am a little bit fearful of the results if they don't win it. So with my heart, I'm going to go ahead and pick Brazil. And as a dark horse, I'm going to pick Portugal. I think Cristiano Ronaldo has had a huge year. I think this is his time on the biggest stage to have that breakout tournament. So Portugal is going to be my surprise dark horse team to get at least to the semis, if not possibly meet Brazil in the finals. Fellas, last call as we always do. Final thoughts on this event. Shout out to your people, whatever you want to do. Son D, I'll start with you.
Yeah, there's one team that I haven't mentioned. I said that England is my European B team, but for my South American B team, I'm going to go with Chile. It's a country, at least, that I'm very familiar with. I've done a lot of work with them in my actual job. Know a lot of Chileans. Been there myself recently. They do have a great striker in Alexis Sanchez, who plays for Barcelona in La Liga. And they're a team that I think, you know, kind of playing close enough to their home turf that could possibly surprise some people. So I'm hoping they get some good wins. I'm hoping they make it out of the group stage. Shout out to Chile.
My last call goes to the England homies, my boys over there at Pitch Talk. And D, you talked about them as a secondary squad to root for. I think I'm going to give them some love, too. I know how much it means to them. And England, like Brazil, not putting maybe their most talented team out there in a while, but maybe the expectations are turned down just enough that the England boys can give us a good run, maybe make it to at least the quarterfinals, give my homies at Pitch Talk something to root for this year. So shout out to the Pitch Talk homies. Let's go, England. Floyd, your last call, and then take us out of here.
Well, guys, as we wrap up, I do want to show some love to our fans out there and hopefully for our fans that this World Cup brings a lot of great action no matter what happens, win, lose, or draw with your favorite teams out there. So with that being said, good luck to you and your favorite teams out there wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.
can not. Blacker bees came to make it hotter. We beat the fire starter. Bubbling up just like lava, heated like a sauna. Penetrating through your body armor. Rhythmically we massage ya. With hip hop mixed up with samba. With samba, so yes, yes, y'all. You know we never stop, we never rest, y'all. The blacker bees will keep the funky fresh, y'all. And we won't stop until we get y'all. Till we get y'all, say it.
Several times, heavy rotation played by every kind, radio station blessing every mind, we crossing boundaries like every day, new off your Bobby Bobby being the R and the Bay, we got, tab magnification, tab magnify like every day,
yes, yes, y'all, you know we never stop, we never rest, y'all, the blacker bees will keep the funky fresh, y'all, and we won't stop until we get y'all, till we get y'all, say it. My daily operation. Gotta put in work in this crazy occupation. Gotta keep it moving.
That's the motivation.
Gotta ride the waves and keep a tight relation with my team. Keep it moving and doing it.